Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, I was interviewed today by a radio station in Los Angeles. Greg Jackson is on a Salem radio station, and it was about George W. Bush's record, his legacy as a pro-lifer. There's an article in CNS News online. You could get it, cnsnews.com. Bush had best pro-life record of any president. And this is by Josiah Ryan. And Greg Jackson was concerned about that. He wanted to set the record straight. So first he interviewed the reporter, Josiah Ryan, who then on the air agreed to do a follow-up interview with American Right to Life to get the other side of the story, the evidence of Bush's track record that is pro-abortion. So let's go to Greg Jackson in Los Angeles.
Welcome back to Truth and Hope Radio. As promised, we got Tom Tancredo coming up, but we're still talking about George Bush's pro-life legacy, as some would say. We just spoke with the staff writer, Josiah Ryan. Hopefully I wasn't too hard on Josiah, who normally doesn't cover the abortion issue. He covers the political stuff. And he wrote this article called Bush Had Best Pro-Life Record of Any President, says pro-life groups. So I thought it would be interesting, since they only quoted people who made that claim, like Wendy Wright, the president of Concerned Women of America, Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life, and this Darla St. Martin, who's the co-executive director of National Right to Life. I thought it would only be fair to give the opposing point of view, and that's why I invited my friend Bob Enyart to the show of American Right to Life.
Thank you, Greg. And yes, I'm a spokesman with American Right to Life. And
that's right. Brian Rohrbaugh is the president of American Right to Life, and you're his spokesperson.
That's right. And we have an analysis of the George W. Bush abortion legacy. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to ask CNS and Josiah Ryan to report the opposing view, including the indisputable actions against the unborn by President Bush. That article, Greg, it quoted Father Frank Pavone saying that George W. Bush was the most pro-life president we've ever had. Well, that's really an unfair judgment of Ronald Reagan. As president in 1981, he volunteered to support a federal human life amendment that George W. Bush opposes, by the way. He's against human life amendments. And National Right to Life actually turned down Ronald Reagan. And I've interviewed Representative Bob Dornan on this. He was there. It's a matter of public record. National Right to Life said, no, we don't want to go for a federal human life amendment. We want to take a state's rights approach, a state effort. And now a quarter of a century later, National Right to Life also opposes state efforts to ban abortion, like in South Dakota, Mississippi, and Colorado.
Yeah, now they're not even for the federal.
They're only for regulating abortion.
Right.
Regulating, not banning. So, secondly, contrary to the popular claims that George W. Bush has had a significant pro-life influence,
yes,
here's what he's done to support the abortion industry. First off, he opposed South Dakota's total abortion ban in 2006. He told ABC News that he supports killing some kids. You know, and he does. And so therefore, he opposed their all-out abortion ban. He never supported Colorado's historic personhood amendment in 2008, and in 2008, South Dakota added enough exceptions to fill a school bus, yet Bush still failed to support it. So, Greg, if Bush is against abortion except for rape and incest and life of the mother, as he claims, why didn't he advocate and campaign for and defend South Dakota's abortion ban?
Because it had all of those exceptions.
Exactly. Bush has funded Planned Parenthood to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars beyond what Bill Clinton funded Planned Parenthood, the nation's number one abortion provider. Terri Schiavo was starved to death, mostly by rulings from Republican judges, judges appointed by Reagan, Bush, and George W. Bush. These are supposedly conservative pro-life judges. And we document these things, Greg. These are not just baseless accusations.
Yeah, where can people find this information?
At AmericanRightToLife.org.
Okay.
AmericanRightToLife.org. President Bush's first presidential campaign promise was that he had no litmus test, That is, he would nominate pro-choice judges, and he filled the Texas courts with pro-choice judges, even pro-homosexual judges, and he's done so to the federal judiciary. In 2000, in the first presidential debate, President Bush declared that he would not try to overturn Roe v. Wade, and it turns out he's fulfilled that promise. In the third debate, Bush repeated his campaign promise that he would continue to appoint pro-abort judges like he had done in Texas, and he has. So we have someone who's called a pro-life president, Greg, who opposes the right to life of the unborn.
Essentially, though, you have people from the other side, these quote-unquote pro-family, pro-life leaders, saying that Alito and Roberts were quote-unquote pro-life judges.
Yeah.
There seems to be some dispute there.
Yeah, that's right. Samuel Alito issued five pro-abortion rulings when he was a federal court judge before Bush nominated him to the Supreme Court. And one of those five, and these were not moderately pro-choice rulings, whatever that would be. These were aggressive pro-abortion rulings, including when New Jersey passed a ban against partial birth abortion, even that grisly technique. Alito overturned their ban and kept even partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey as a federal judge. And that's one of five. We have his record, Alito's report card, of these aggressively pro-abortion rulings.
Yeah, and Roberts, I know, believes that, well, he said so and during congressional testimony, that he believes that Roe is the supreme law of the land and he would not overturn it.
Yeah, that Roe v. Wade is settled law. And
settled
we know from, for example, the Gonzales v. Carhart ruling that he signed into, that he rejects that the unborn child has a right to life.
In fact, there's not one Supreme Court justice, is there, who believes that babies in the womb possess an unalienable right to life.
That's absolutely true. And seven of the nine Supreme Court justices are Republicans nominated by Republican presidents. And supposedly the most pro-life is Antonin Scalia. And he is on record repeatedly saying things like, those who want to ban abortion in every state, they are wrong. And the personhood protections of our Constitution do not apply to the unborn. So that's Antonin Scalia, and they consider him the most pro-life. But you can't be pro-life if you don't believe the unborn child has a right to life. Then you're not pro-life. So national right to life has redefined what it means to be pro-life. It means if you give them money, you're pro-life. That's their new definition of pro-life.
How has this happened? How has this happened, Bob? Because I think a lot of our listeners, and we've talked about this before, you and I are both passionate about this subject, and, you know, how have we gotten to the point where for years people have been sending money into these organizations like the largest, quote-unquote, pro-life organization, National Right to Life, where they have they're essentially a pro-abortion group disguised as a pro-life group. How could they? I mean, people listening right now have got to be scratching their head saying, I don't understand. I mean, why? This is something, to me, that is so pernicious. It's just so, you'd never think anything like this would happen. So why?
Here's what we think in American Right to Life, that a Christian movement based on the God-given right to life was turned over to lawyers. Lawyers run the public policy groups of all these national ministries. Of course, Jay Sekulow and National Right to Life and Americans United for Life and Focus on the Family's Public Policy Division. So a Christian movement was turned over to lawyers who've been trained in a secular humanist worldview. They believe in legal positivism and that if a judge rules to kill a baby, that is a good ruling if he's following the process. And that is indisputably the position of all our national pro-life organizations except for Judy Brown's American Life League and American Right to Life and those groups that affiliate with us.
You have people like Father Frank Pavone, and I'm quoting from the CNS story that we had Josiah Ryan on for earlier. He says, Father Frank Pavone, we have seen in Bush the most pro-life president that we have ever had for this cause of defending the unborn. He set up a tremendous groundwork, yet you've just iterated, Bob, numerous points that contradict
and it
that
goes
assertion.
On and on and on, Greg. Right.
What are some of the other points that our listeners need to know?
Well, we've redefined what it means to be pro-life. If you give lip service to pro-life efforts and you throw some scraps to pro-lifers, they call you pro-life. George W. Bush did not lead the fight to protect unborn children. I'm afraid that we can predict that just like his father, once he left office, he's done nothing, George H.W. Bush, to protect the unborn. Sadly, I think we'll see that with George W. Bush. He supports the position that started our abortion holocaust, that a child could be killed if her father's a rapist. And Greg, that means that that child doesn't have a God-given right to life.
That's right.
If you say that some kids could be killed for these reasons, intentionally killed, then you destroy the understanding that that is a person with a God-given right to life. George W. Bush signed misguided child-killing regulations, laws that end with, and then you could kill the baby, that have no authority to save a life, like the partial birth abortion ban, for example.
Yeah, now his supporters, like the ones I've quoted, who say that he was the most pro-life president we've ever had, they cite things such as that Bush signed the partial birth abortion ban. Explain to our audience, because I spoke with Josiah about this earlier, explain to our audience why this was a dangerous piece of legislation that gave people a false sense of security and hope.
It was a 15-year partial birth abortion fiasco. Dr. James Dobson, after we took out full-page newspaper ads around the country, he wrote in his newsletter, quote, "Ending partial birth abortion does not save a single human life."
Why?
Unquote. Because the ruling, the ban, and the Republican ruling from our Supreme Court explains other ways to commit late-term and even partial birth abortions. So the PBA ban was a $250 million Republican fundraiser, but it never had the authority to save even a single child. And CNS makes the egregious error of saying the partial birth abortion ban outlaws late-term abortions. Greg, it's unbelievable. It doesn't even prevent a single abortion, because the abortionists just kill the kids in various ways. It doesn't even ban partial birth abortion. It says if you pull the baby out to the navel instead of the neck, you could do a partial birth abortion. That's just a 4-inch variation. And the judges outline different ways that you could legally kill that same baby. It's a brutally wicked ruling.
Yeah, because it gave people a false sense of security that their money that they sent into to advance this, this ban actually saved lives.
Yeah, a quarter of a billion dollars was raised by the pro-life industry for a ban misleading Christians who gave sacrificially, misleading them into thinking this would save children by the authority of law. It never could, it never has, it can't.
Yeah, and the thing is that a lot of Democrats voted for it too. And it gave them cover, which was even worse for Republicans. That's why you never win when you compromise your core values.
That's right. The cover for pro-aborts who looked reasonable by voting for the partial birth abortion ban. And they knew it would not stop a single abortion. They knew it. And the Supreme Court, when they ruled and upheld this, they said now the baby or the fetus, they said we don't like calling it a child. We struck down a law that called it a child. But the fetus actually may experience more pain. It might be more violent now with this PBA ban, because the PBA ban was a quicker way to kill the baby. Now the baby may suffer more, but so be it. This improves the image of the abortion industry. That's in the ruling.
Okay, so here's what our listeners are. We were speaking with Bob Enyart from American Right to Life, and we're talking about President Bush's quote-unquote pro-life legacy, discussing really what that legacy entails. I think the question probably a lot of our listeners are wondering about right now, Bob, is why is this important? Bush is out of office. Who cares? Right now, Obama is much worse. This is what Josiah Ryan said. People are really in for a shock because Bush is going to look very pro-life once Obama comes into office. So put this in context. Put this in perspective for our listeners. Yeah. Why is this important right now?
Yeah, it's important because when you have wolves in sheep's clothing, they can destroy your effort to protect the innocent. And what we do is we fund the wolves in sheep's clothing. Imagine, here's the analogy. we're so used to abortion, we don't care. Even as Christians, we just don't, our eyes glaze over. We don't care that unborn kids are being killed.
4,000 a day.
So consider this analogy. Killing a baby in the womb, sucking his thumb, playing with his toes, sleeping, dreaming, that's the same as killing a Jew in Germany. It's the same. And so imagine that George W. Bush was the head of Germany, and they had the Holocaust, they were killing Jews, and one district said, we're going to ban the killing of Jews in our district. And Bush tells ABC News, oh, I oppose that because I think you should be able to kill some Jews.
That's right.
The Jews who have infectious diseases and these Jews and those. So I oppose the ban in that district on the Holocaust. So then the district says, okay, well, will it make exceptions for Jews who have infectious diseases? We can still kill them, but not the others. And he still refuses to support the effort. So that is a hypocrite. And history will judge George W. Bush as an ally and accomplice of the abortion industry, because what we've done with our regulations, we've cleaned up the act of the abortionist. We've made them look better. Bush has given hundreds of millions of dollars a year to Planned Parenthood. How is that pro-life? Why hasn't he fought with everything he had to say not $1 to a child-killing organization?
How about doing what Barack Obama's going to do? See, the reason we're losing, Bob, is because the other side are more serious and committed to their core values and beliefs. Obama,
right,
is one of his first official acts, is going to call on Congress to draft legislation that he has said he would sign, called the Freedom of Choice Act, which would enshrine into law, because see, even the Democrats know that courts can't make law. Our guys advance that toxic liberal lie, but they know that it's only propaganda, that it has to be part of the statutes for it to be binding. So that's exactly what he's going to do, and they're very serious about it
and
committed to it. But Bush could have easily, as his first official act, either issued an executive order or to end all abortions using the Constitution and Declaration, which guarantees an inalienable right to life.
He certainly should have done that, like Alan Keyes has said he would do. He should have done everything he could legally and possibly have done to stop the killing of children by Americans in America, and he did not. He was not the leader.
10 million died under his watch.
Right.
And 10 million, Bob.
And the terrorists killed 3,000 Americans, and the effort he put, which was justified, in fighting terrorists, he virtually ignored the plight of the unborn being killed by Americans. He did not lead the effort. He gave lip service, and he threw scraps to pro-lifers.
Mm-hmm.
He passed laws that had no authority. Not one baby in America, not one unborn baby was protected by law from all the laws that George W. Bush signed. And yet he gave hundreds of billions of dollars a year to the abortion industry.
Yeah, and the thing that really gets me is that in this National Sanctity of Human Life Day declaration, which was on January 18th that he issued as one of his last official acts, he says in it, the most basic duty of government is to protect the life of the innocent. And my question for George W. Bush is, well, then why didn't you do it?
That was lip service to try to beef up the base of the Republican Party so they don't get disillusioned, so they're ready for 2 years and 4 years from now.
Or we discouraged.
We get lip service. You know, he wanted to put Alberto Gonzalez on the Supreme Court.
This is
an outwardly pro-abortion Texas Supreme Court justice who he brought to the White House. George W. Bush, when he promised that he's not going to care whether somebody believes you can kill children or not, when he nominates judges, he fulfilled that promise.
That's right.
I mean, Harriet Myers, who he did name,
she
established SMU's Women's Studies program.
Anti-Christian.
Anti-Christian, filled with pro-abortion, pro-lesbian speakers.
Yes.
So the legacy is horrific.
Not even anything, and we only have about a minute left, Bob, but nothing that you could even say comes even close to being pro-life, or is it just tokenism?
Tokenism, nothing that protects a single unborn child. Nothing. We have regulations that say, but you could kill the baby these other ways, just not this way. Not one unborn child was protected by law in the 8 years of George W. Bush, and he didn't even try. In the efforts that tried to acknowledge the right to life of the unborn, he opposed, or he refused to support.
What is, Bob, the solution? What should our listeners be doing differently as we move forward? Those who really believe that babies possess an unalienable right to life that no individual state can violate.
Well, this is what Greg Jackson has on his side. This is what American Right to Life has on our side, the truth. Greg, we have the truth. And as we affirm one another, when we cry out against the killing of innocent children, and we explain you don't regulate the killing of Jews or babies, you affirm, you call out to establish and acknowledge their God-given right to life, we have to teach our judges, teach the public, and teach our political leaders. We will oppose you, and especially Republicans who believe you can regulate the killing of innocent children, because we'll never end abortion as long as we are regulating the killing of children, making Planned Parenthood look better by our own actions.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's obvious that we can no longer support any politicians who believe that it's okay to kill babies.
That's
and,
right.
I think now that we see that there are wolves in sheep's clothing that we've been supporting for years in the Republican Party. And they take, you know, they say they're pro-life every 4 years to get elected. Then they do nothing but these token gestures, and actually make things worse because they give people a false sense of security. Well, listen, Bob Enyart, you keep up the great work you're doing at American Right to Life. Give people the web address one more time, if you would.
Sure, AmericanRightToLife.org, and the number is 888-888-ARTL, 888-888-ARTL, AmericanRightToLife.org.
Yeah, and not to be confused with the counterfeit organization, National Right to Life.
That's true.
Who is being run by James Bopp, the lawyer who supported Mitt Romney, who's now the second in command at the Republican Party.
And embryonic stem cell research. That's
right. Scientific experimentation.
And Bush funded, he was the first Republican president to fund embryonic stem cell research. CNS was wrong when he said he opposed it. He funded it.
Well, the good news is, Bob, that Josiah is going to be calling you soon. He's going to interview you. You're going to have your chance at CNS News to give the opposing point of view.
Thank God. So, thank you for that, Greg.
Well, I thank you for all that you're doing, Bob, and we'll talk to you real soon here on Truth and Hope.
All right.
All right. God bless.
That was the interview this morning with Greg Jackson, Los Angeles radio host that'll air in a couple days. And so you heard it first here at Bob Enyart Live and on the internet at KGOV.com. So George W. Bush has supported the killing of tens of thousands of kids, actually supported killing them if their fathers are criminals or so on. They say he's the most pro-life president we ever had. He actually supports killing tens of thousands of kids. He has funded the killing of hundreds of thousands of children, funded it. The surgical and chemical abortion of hundreds of thousands of kids. In 2001, President Bush declared that federal funds could, this is what the CNS News reported, all right? CNS News, and that was started by L. Brent Bozell. It's a conservative news outlet. They said that President Bush declared that federal funds could not be used for embryonic stem cell research. That's false. You know what he did in 2001? He authorized funding for research on 61 embryonic stem cell lines that were created prior to August 11th that year. He never advocated protecting these children or any other children with a ban. Never. He became the first Republican president to fund grisly research on embryos. And so we have this claim that George W. Bush had 8 years of pro-life policies that included sustained opposition to embryonic stem cell research. Did George W. Bush fight for a ban on embryonic stem cell research? No. He just said, we're going to regulate it. We're going to spend some money, some millions of dollars on embryonic research, but that's it. Wendy Wright of CWA, Concerned Women for America, said George W. Bush fought to protect innocent human life. Not one law he signed provided protection for a single unborn child, not one. And then she said, we'll never know how many lives were saved by George Bush's actions. Well, Wendy, how many unborn children could not be killed by President Bush's actions? The number was zero. Not one child was saved by any law. Not one unborn child saved by any law passed by George W. Bush. These are mere regulations. And she says that George Bush set a standard that hopefully others will follow. And that is simply chilling. It's chilling. Now, back on November 4th, to change the topic, I made predictions about Obama's presidency, and I countered the conservative predictions made by Fred Barnes and others, so-called conservatives. Well, today, Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, targeted suspected Muslim terrorists today and killed 7 people in Pakistan from an unmanned drone that fired 3 missiles at 2 buildings near the Afghan border, the border of Afghanistan. And do you remember the predictions I made about the Obama presidency on November 4th? I argued that while Obama is utterly wicked for his support of homosexuality and killing innocent children, that Fred Barnes, his predictions in the Wall Street Journal that day, and others were making very doubtful predictions. Like Fred Barnes said that Obama is going to impose the Fairness Doctrine on talk radio. I said that won't happen. It's a prediction. That he would retreat from Iraq. And I argued that Obama will not have a counterproductive retreat from Iraq. Even Bush signed an agreement to pull out from Iraq. And so we'll find out what's happening with that. Obama has already said we're going to be there for another year and a half. Just generally, abandoning the war on terror? I don't know that that's the case. And so today, Barack Obama, Democrat liberal Barack Obama, kills 7 suspected Muslim terrorists today in Pakistan. So I'm glad that has been done. We were told, vote for John McCain because Barack Obama will abandon the war on terror and he'll pull out of Iraq. And I'm only saying that that was primarily hype to get us to overlook that John McCain is a child killer. He's an aggressive child killer, so we were lied to. So George W. Bush, overlook the fact that he supported the killing of tens of thousands of kids, outright support the killing of tens of thousands of kids, and funded the killing of hundreds of thousands of kids. Forget all that, because be afraid of the boogeyman, Barack Obama is going to pull out of Iraq. He's going to abandon the war on terror. So here we have this guy today kill 7 Muslims in Pakistan today. So the hype that's designed to get you distracted from what matters, don't support a leader who will kill innocent children. Don't do that. We have to become experts on right and wrong. Regarding Obama, does that mean that Barack Obama is less wicked? No, it doesn't. It just suggests that the hype of the partisan conservative talk show hosts was just that, that it was hype. So we'll see what happens with the war on terror. And on, that Obama is going to give us liberal judicial nominees. What do you think Bush gave us for 8 years? And what would McCain give us? That Obama will give us massive spending programs? Have these conservatives ever heard of George W. Bush? Or how about his dad? What was his goal? To outspend his dad? He did it, only he outspent Bill Clinton in the process. Hundreds of millions of dollars more money to Planned Parenthood than Bill Clinton. So this is what we're up against. This is what we're up against. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we will do our best to give you the truth, not slanted from a partisan hack perspective. We're not going to lie to you and say somebody's pro-life when they reject the right to life of the unborn. George W. Bush rejects the right to life of the unborn. And a wolf in sheep's clothing? Huh. You know how dangerous it is, a wolf in sheep's clothing? What if we are the ones dressing up the wolves in sheep's clothing? We see it's a wolf and we want to convince ourselves, oh, that's not a wolf, that's a sheep. You know how we destroy the morality of the body of Christ? But don't give up. Trust in the Lord. Read His Word, the Bible, and Maranatha, what a great school. One of my lifelong heroes, a 20-year congressman, worked with Ronald Reagan to fight abortion at a federal level. This is Congressman Bob Dornan. Bob, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Reverend Bob and Yurt, for the rest of my life, I'm indebted to you. I got your documentary, Focus on the Strategy, that you gave me 7 simple words that I will never look at another piece of pro-life legislation without saying those words.
But what are those seven
words? And then you can kill the baby.
It's a bad law if it says, and then you could kill the baby.
And then you can kill the baby. If you do this, that parental notification, your documentary, everybody in America who wants to be part of a good fight, they must get that documentary on the strategy.
Thank you, Bob Dornan. That was Bob Dornan, U.S. Congressman, fought for life for many years. We appreciate him and are thrilled with his endorsement for our video, Focus on the Strategy.